guys, welcome back to Polar Opposites Podcast. We are here for another episode.
Yes, another episode. It's a good one. How was your week, Nikki?
So I went to see Toy Story 4 this weekend, and that was really good. I guess I wasn't surprised because I've liked all the Toy Story movies, but I'm partly surprised. It's been over 20 years since the first one came out that they're keeping it to like same or better quality.
Right.
But the new story with this is, so we had talked about this before with the Arthur thing, right? Like exposing kids to homosexuality, like, is it okay? Should it be done? Mm-hmm. And I'm at this movie, I'm 22, but there are a lot of kids in the audience.
Right.
There are a lot of kids in the audience, right? And this preview came up for the new Addams Family movie. And it starts out by saying, this is a normal American family. This is a normal American family with different cartoons. And some of the families were like two moms and some kids, two dads and some kids, a mom and a dad. And like this show that this is normal, right?
Right.
So I know some people, even after we polled, said it's not okay to like expose kids to that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. To me, I was like, I wonder what all these parents are thinking
really?
Now.
Yeah,
with like this big commercial telling like your kids that being gay is okay. And
wait, but you said
family.
It showed two dads?
Yeah, it showed two dads, uh-huh. It showed two moms, and then showed also like a mom and a dad and like a single mom and with kids.
But it didn't show like any like gay kids or anything? It just showed like the different parents? Like
I don't know how you could show gay kids.
I don't know.
It's just like
I didn't
this is
it.
What, you know, like those family stickers mm-hmm. with like just shapes? It was like a cartoon of a mom and a dad and like two mm-hmm. kids, two moms and like two
I guess
kids.
What you're saying, some people might read it as people pushing an agenda, but there are people out there that have two dads or two moms, so it's relatable for them because it's like, look, I have two moms, and look, there's two moms
yeah,
being
represented.
Yeah,
and that's the thing with Arthur, though, also. It's not like they're showing anything. They're just saying these two men are getting married, mm-hmm. right?
Because so, that stuff does happen
yeah,
in real life.
And, like, I'm sure there are kids who have parents who, like, have friends that have two moms mm-hmm. or two dads.
Right.
So I don't think there's, I really still don't think that there's anything wrong with exposing
No, I think that parents just want to do that on their own time. They don't want to yeah. let the TV explain that for their kid. They just want to have sit-down conversations and show their kids the world without the world doing
yeah,
that for
them.
Yeah,
but I wonder if there are any parents in the audience being like, I'm going to walk
like
out and tell my kid that's not normal or something.
There probably
like
is. There yeah. probably is. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
I liked it, though. I'm like, this is good. It's normalizing it, saying this is a normal
But I
family.
Don't like using the word normalizing because it shows that whatever is being normalized isn't normal.
But that's the thing in our society. It is considered, for the most part, abnormal mm-hmm. or not the norm,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing, normalizing it, making it part of the norm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think maybe inclusion is better.
No, I get that. I was just saying that, like, because some people don't find it normal, mm-hmm. like, making it part of the norm so that people don't see it as abnormal.
Right. I don't know, because I've been watching some stuff where people are saying this agenda is being pushed, even with the Black Mirror episode. They were saying that they're trying to like get rid of the masculinity of the black male.
Just because you're gay does not make you not masculine.
This world, there's so much to discuss, but there's definitely some topics that we definitely need to discuss further. But this week, I have come to a realization that millennials truly know nothing. And it makes me sad because I feel like there's so many important cultural references that everybody should know.
Like
regardless,
what?
You should know who Milli Vanilli is. You should know what a fax machine is. You should know who Orville Redenbacher is. Like, this is just like the basics of the 90s, and people don't know these important references.
Cause... I feel like, okay, do you consider yourself a millennial?
Yes, we are millennials.
Okay, that's what I think.
We're
but
late
like,
millennials.
Yeah, but there's so many different sources out there of what the dates are mm-hmm. versus like Gen X, right? Isn't one after
right.
us?
Is it Gen Z? I think it's Gen Z.
Yeah, I think it's Gen Z. Yeah. My bad. But I don't feel like it's that we know nothing. I feel like there's certain things that you should know, but there are also certain things that are before our time that
right.
isn't really relevant.
For example, I was watching a video of NBA draftees that were born in the 90s, and they were asked different cultural references.
They weren't born in the 90s. Well, they were born like 1999, 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like...
So the NBA asked them like different... Showed them a picture of something and asked them, do you know what this reference is? So a picture of an Easy Bake Oven appeared, and the people were like, I don't know, a microwave?
Microwave?
Not quite, it's like a...
No, this is microwave.
Little kit microwave?
I forgot what it's called, but my sister had one of these.
No. I think this is an Easy Bake Oven. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a basically microwave, right?
Yeah.
Like, everybody, I feel like, should know what an easy bake oven is. My sister had one. Whatever we baked, did it come out
good?
What
if they didn't have sisters and, like...
I mean, you saw commercials. Like, there's...
I guess.
Like, that's, like, not knowing what a Barbie is. Like, you know what
no,
that is.
No, it's not. Yes, it's not the same. Yes, Barbies have been around for decades.
So has
decades.
An easy bake
nope,
oven.
No, it came in and it came out.
Honestly, how is that even an oven? Because isn't it cooked with a light bulb?
It's a light bulb. So I asked my parents for one and I got one. Mm-hmm. And then they thought it was just a regular light bulb. I was like, no, we need a 100-watt light bulb. So we had to go to the store and buy a light bulb. Mm-hmm. And I used to make little cookies. Honestly, it wasn't
that
good.
That shit is disgusting. It was not good. I don't even know what is in that thing. It's nasty.
But they come with little little packets that you can make cookies
little
or
treats.
Cakes or whatever with. Yeah. And I used to use it. Honestly, it was not good.
No.
It didn't taste good.
I don't know what is in that stuff, but y'all don't eat it. Please don't eat it.
No,
another reference that they saw was a fax machine, and they didn't know what that is. And then there's a picture of Orville Redenbacher, who's the man that invented popcorn, right?
Did he invent it? I don't know if he invented it. Actually, I don't know. But he's like a big popcorn.
A popcorn person. So there's a picture of him holding a bowl of popcorn, and some girl was like, is that Bill Nye?
Oh, he looks like Bill Nye, but ill. maybe he's teaching me about health?
You think this was healthy ever?
No. Like, he's telling me this is what you shouldn't eat.
Oh, I see. This is Orville Redenbacher. Does that mean anything to you?
Oh, yes. He's the name on all the popcorn brands.
Yes.
Yes.
He's an actual man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
And I was like, how? Like, they don't know anything, and it makes me so sad. Like, there's so many things that we should know as a generation that we don't.
Yeah, but I feel like some of them were kind of, I don't know, I guess
obscure.
Depending on what the fax machine looked like. Because nowadays, when people send faxes, it's usually just in the big copy machine. Like, at my job, there's a fax number, but it's just, like, a big Xerox machine that does copying, faxing,
everything.
Whatever. I don't know if I was showed a fax machine, if I would be like, oh yeah, that's a fax machine.
But still, like, at least say something that's kind of, like, close. I don't want to claim to be a millennial when they don't know anything.
But you're a lot more into music and, like, pop culture than I am.
True, true.
So, like, certain things I just don't care about.
Right.
Like, so it's not even that, like, I'm this absent-minded millennial, but there's certain things
that's
I just don't care
about. Because if you don't care, you're less inclined to do research or even look up what it is.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But as millennials, can we just agree to just be better? Please, the important references, everybody, just be more aware. Know the things that we should know as a generation, please. I don't want to be embarrassed to claim the millennial generation. I'll just move over to Gen Z.
Hot take.
Here's our hot take of the week. Nikki, what is your hot take this week?
So, one, I was talking about this with my sister. She had brought it up. I don't know if it's hot take, but I don't know why she's so popular. To me, Tiffany Haddish is not funny. She's not.
I thought it was
good...
Haddish.
Haddish? Mm-hmm. Tiffany Haddish, Haddish, whatever her name is. I don't think she's funny. I don't think she's a good actress. She plays the same role in everything that she's in.
I will say with Tiffany Haddish, a lot of people feel some type of way about her. Either you love her or you hate her. And there's, like, really no in between. I personally find Tiffany Haddish, I guess, entertaining in the least bit, if not funny.
She's, like, the type of person who's, like, the class clown. They do the same thing over and over again. The first couple
like
times.
Like Amy Schumer.
Yeah, like, the first couple times it's funny, but okay, I get you're playing the same joke over and
a
over
A lot
again.
Of people in the black community think that Tiffany Haddish is, do you know what the term a coon is?
Yeah.
Or a tap dancer, that she, like, puts on this black stereotype.
To laugh, to make the white people laugh.
To make the white people laugh, and that's why a lot of people don't like her. Or they just genuinely,
like,
don't think she's funny.
That might just be who she is, like, that
which
might,
is fine.
Yeah, which is fine, but, like, it's nothing new to me. Mm-hmm. Like, everything that she plays is very... It's either typecasted or she goes for the same type of role.
Right.
Or she doesn't have a range.
A range. Yeah.
So she plays it the same way. Because everything I've seen her in is the same.
No, but she's actually going to be in a movie with Elizabeth Moss and Melissa McCarthy. It's like all three of them are leads and she's playing like a serious role.
That's good. See, I liked Melissa McCarthy. I've always liked her. But I did think that she didn't have much range until I saw that movie.
Bridesmaid?
No. Where The newer movie.
Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Yes, Can You Ever Forgive Me? So I was pleasantly surprised by her playing that role because I think she always plays like a lighthearted, comedic character. But in this, she played a more serious role, mm-hmm. and she did a really good job.
She got an Oscar nomination.
Yeah. I saw the movie, and I was like, wow, I would not have expected out of this. Mm-hmm. So if I see Tiffany Haddish in a movie like that, and she plays it well, then maybe my opinion will change. Yeah. But for now...
She's not funny.
She's not funny.
Yeah, it's funny because Cat Williams, another comedian, I guess was hating on her like a couple months ago, saying that she hasn't really like done the work that a lot of comedians need to do in order to be successful.
She kind of just goes up there, it's like, ha ha ha.
And then she won an Emmy for guest starring on SNL, and people were like, wow, that was quick.
Like, for nothing.
Yeah, well, she was funny, okay. But... Yeah, but that's an interesting take, because people definitely feel some type of way about her.
Hmm. What's your hot take?
My hot take this week is about Facebook. So I had a friend that had a falling out with another friend, and come to find out that friend deleted her off of Facebook. And I was like, Facebook? My hot take is that if somebody deletes you on Facebook, that is the final straw in a relationship. Because there's some people that I keep as friends on Facebook that I really... do not care about at all, and I could care less what they're doing, but yet I still follow them. Like, I don't have the energy to unfollow them. I think that if I do ever have the energy to unfollow somebody on Facebook, of all things, that's the final straw, and that relationship is done. There's no going back to it.
Honestly, that's very true, though, because, yeah, if someone has the audacity, if they take the time to really unfollow go on you. Facebook... and delete you as a friend, because Facebook is the type of thing, it's like you put up this persona, you're friends with your family on there, like, it's just like, ah, I'm posting this picture, you like it, like, Facebook is not serious.
No,
like
it's
that.
Not.
And I'm not, like, I have people that I've been friends with on there since middle school, and, like, I see stuff on there, but I don't care, and I don't care enough to go and unfriend them, you know? Like, it's just
It's more energy for me to go online, actually log into Facebook, than it is to, like, just erase them from my life.
I actually use Facebook regularly. I don't post a lot, but I use it. I don't know. I just use it. And there's funny stuff on there, like meme pages.
Yeah, a lot of fake news. That's how your president got elected.
Yeah, there's fake news on there, but I use it mainly for, like, meme pages and just seeing, I guess, what people are up to.
Every time I go on Facebook, it's always these viruses, all these people getting hacked and all this. And my parents are on there. Like, once the parents go onto your social media, that's it. Time to move on to the next one.
You don't post anything interesting like that on Facebook. No. Like, no one's posting... stuff like that on Facebook.
Oh, it's so, just like a life update app.
Yeah, that's like I posted, hey, graduation pictures, and that was my post for the year.
Yeah, that's it.
That's basically it. So yeah, if someone's going on Facebook and they're unfriending you, then
that's the final
straw. Y'all must have really had some.
It had to
be
really
bad,
because if you're erasing somebody from your Facebook, you're erasing them from your life. Honestly, because you'll never see them again. Facebook is like the common denominator of all social media. Like, I deleted the app years ago, so to even log into Facebook, I have to go to facebook.com and log in. So that shows you like how irrelevant that is. So if somebody wants to unfollow me on there, that's the end, and there's no going back from that. So that's my hot take this week.
in the news, man, what has been going on?
Okay, so Black Mirror, the season premiere was on June 5th, I think. So we're a little late to the game. Me and Nikki
I waited a little bit to watch it.
Me and Nikki finally got around to watching the first three episodes of Black Mirror.
I only watched the first one, too.
Okay. I was just making sure I covered my bases just in case you watched the other two. But we watched the first episode called Striking Vipers, and it was very, very thought-provoking, to say the least.
It was. Honestly, I thought it was weird. So first off, there were a lot of I don't want to give any spoilers.
It's been out for a while, so I think that
spoiler alert.
Because I want to have a deep discussion about this. So this episode follows two black males who are friends. They've been friends since college, and they really bond over this game called Striking Vipers. So this game is a console game, but it fast forwards to 11 years later when one of the characters is having a birthday. So his friend that he hasn't seen in a while gives him a game, the same game that they used to play in college, but this time it's a virtual reality game where they're fully immersed in the experience of playing this game. It's kind of like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, so it's a fighting game, and then they finally get to play in the game. One of the guys is a woman character. Mm-hmm. Another one is a male character. And they start fighting, and everything seems normal at first. It's part of that. They're just playing the game. This is cool. And the guy friend who gifted was like, yeah, this simulates all physical sensations. Mm-hmm. And they're fighting. There gets this weird moment where they're like rolling around on the ground. And then they kind of pause and look at each other. And it's one of those moments where you know something is going to happen.
Right. It was very strange. Like, it was almost like intimate in a way. I was like, what's happening?
It was very, very intimate, actually. You knew something was going to happen. Basically, something happens. They have sex in this game. They fast forwards through it. They end up clothing themselves and be like, that was kind of weird. Mm-hmm. They leave the game. And then it's awkward.
Yeah. The main character, I guess, is a family man. He mm-hmm. has a wife and he has a child. The other friend, the one that gave him the game, he's player. Single. He's like out and about, still trying to figure out his love life, I guess. So he's the one that was the girl character, and he's the one that initiated the kiss for his virtual friend in the game.
So they kiss and then they pause and then they keep going, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wait, what did we just do?
Then they
and
stop.
Then it's like, oh, we liked it, right. So we keep going.
Exactly. So the second time they come around to playing the game, they're like, yeah, man, sorry, I was drunk from the party.
Whatever I was drunk. It's homophobic vibes. Basically, like, oh, we just virtually had sex with each other, but we're not going to acknowledge it. We're just going to say we're drunk, even though they were not drunk at all.
They were completely sober, but they both, it seems like, liked the experience that they had.
But they didn't want to talk about it.
So we said that in the game, one is playing a guy and one is playing a girl, and they're both Asian characters is who they're playing.
Yeah. Okay, so then they go and play again. They're about to fight, basically, like, hands up, they're about to fight. And then the girl character rushes the guy character and jumps on him and starts making out with him. And then they have sex again. Mm-hmm.
So this happens repeatedly for a while.
over and over.
And the main character, he and his wife are actually trying to conceive another child. So because
he's having sex
in the game,
he's like tired in real life.
And he doesn't feel like sexually like motivated to have sex with his wife. So he's always like, sorry, ma'am. Sorry, babe. Not tonight.
Like, yeah. He keeps saying that. And then she's like, what's going on? And it becomes this whole thing. He puts the game away for a while. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm not going to do this anymore. It's not fair to my wife.
And it's affecting his relationship with his wife.
Yeah. Oh, his wife invites the friend over to dinner, even though they hadn't been talking for a while, and it's obviously
so
awkward.
So they hadn't spoken to each other, I think, for 7 months.
This is a long synopsis.
It really is. I'm sorry. They haven't talked to each other for 7 months. The wife invites the friend over for the main character's birthday.
And there's obviously some tension there, but she doesn't know what it is.
Right.
So later that night... Oh, the guy was like, hey, get on the game. Like, this is the best sex I've ever had. Like, we need to do this again. Please, 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 one more time before he leaves. Mm-hmm. So he does get on. Later they get on. And I think they have sex again, right?
Yes.
Yeah. The guy's like, hey, let's meet up in person. Let's see what's going on. Because this is obviously weird to them. Mm-hmm. They don't know why they're feeling that way.
Yeah, and they're trying to figure out. If they have this attraction for each other, is it because they're gay or is it because it's just the game?
Yeah.
So, yeah, as Nikki said, they met up in some alleyway at night and
like,
their solution is to kiss each other to figure out
if there's a spark there,
basically. Connection, yeah.
So they kiss and they say there's no connection, right? So it must just be the game. And then the guy who really wants it, he's like, this is the best sex ever. Like, we need to keep doing this. Like, he doesn't care that the other guy has a wife. So he wants it, basically. He's addicted to the sex.
Mm-hmm.
And they start fighting. They get arrested, and the wife has to pick him up.
Right. So the episode concludes with the main character confessing to his wife what the issue is within the relationship.
And she's okay with it.
Yeah.
They come to, like, an arrangement, basically. I think it's every year.
I think it's every year on his birthday.
He can go and have virtual
sex with his friend.
And she goes out to, like, the bar, and I guess... I don't know if anything happens, but, like, someone is able to hit on her.
Right, she can either go on a date with somebody else or do whatever.
Yeah.
And she's cute, so she can get anyone she wants.
Yeah.
But, so this episode, it really brought about themes of what... I think it's not just... I think it's not just about sexuality, though. I think it's, like, a statement about porn as well. When you're in a relationship, what role does porn play in your relationship? Because...
Some people are addicted to porn and it's something that they like, even though they have this real life thing going on. So, like, what's the balance between that? I guess for anyone, really, if you're, like, masturbating, does that take away from your relationship?
Because is porn cheating to you?
No.
Okay. Because some people might see it that way because you're, like, imagining that you are, like, having sex with somebody else.
I don't know if you're imagining that you're having sex with someone else. I think, like, just... porn arouses people and it's a way for them to be sexually stimulated and they don't need someone else for it, but I don't feel like you're imagining having sex with someone else.
I mean, it's, I don't know, it's like the person that you're having fantasies about is not your wife, and you're like...
I don't feel like that's what porn is nowadays. I feel like maybe back then that's what it was. Like, you fantasize about this girl and, like, Playboy and whatnot. Like, now it's like you watch whatever online and, like, Pornhub or whatever, right, and it's this quick thing. You're not... I don't know. Actually, I don't know what everyone does, but, like, I don't feel like it's, oh, I love this one character and, like, I fantasize about this one, like, porn star.
I think for the main character, it was, like, a fantasy for him. He wasn't seeing his friend. He was just seeing this, like, Asian girl.
Yeah.
And for his friend, I think that he was maybe actually attracted to his friend, and he would, like, imagine that the male character is his friend that he's having sex with.
I think I also got those vibes that the woman character in the game was more attracted, because there was this moment where he says, I love you, after they had sex, and it was very awkward.
Right.
He's like,
and this is what made them, real? Like, okay, what is this? Like, what exactly are we doing,
like,
here?
Like, why would you say that to me? Like, you've never said that to me in real life. We don't talk about this in real life. We've never had sex in real life. We just never faced these emotions before.
And I think that part of the episode is about black masculinity, too. There was little things in the episode where instead of hugging his friend, he would hit him with a handshake.
Oh, yeah. And then the wife is like, guys are so awkward.
And it's annoying because I treat my guy friends the same way I treat my girlfriends. If I love you as a friend, I will give you a hug, whether you're a girl, whether you're a guy. I show affection and I'm not afraid of that with
like
my
friends.
I feel
like normally there's at least some type of handshake, but given the situation, it was just very awkward.
Yeah, then hug your friend.
No, the thing is, like, they had just been having sex, you know? Yeah. Like, in virtual reality, they had just been having sex. So it's like, do we touch each other? Right. Like, what if that brings about emotions that they had in the game that they hadn't faced in real life?
Because there was still awkward tension, too. Interesting. Yeah. No, there's so many questions that it raises. It's like...
It's just weird to
desirability
me, like the,
and...
Just the aspect of having virtual sex and, like, them getting so much out of it was strange to me. Because the guy is literally... says, this is the best sex I've ever had. I've gone into game as other women, other guys, done with all these different people, and it's not like the same as it is with you. So it's just,
and it might be even a statement on sexual fluidity, you know what I mean? Because he talked about what it felt like to have sex as a in a female's body. And how,
like,
he
it's
said
it's just different,
it's an orchestra,
more intense, like
versus a guitar solo. He said it's an orchestra.
Which is something, like, I'm always curious about. Like, how are things different for, like, men and women?
I can imagine. I feel like for women, it's more internal. And for guys, it's more external, I guess.
I feel like you're just saying where the sex organs are.
No, I mean, like, you feel your sensations are more internal, even though...
How is it not internal for a guy, though?
It's not.
See, I can't imagine, because I mean, like...
Like, all of our sensation is at the tip. Like, there's, and that's on the exterior end of everything. Like,
so it just doesn't feel as connect. I don't know.
It's different.
I
mean, it's just different.
You can't really know. That's the thing. That was one interesting thing. Because he kept coming back as a woman. It's like, why isn't he coming as a man? Why? I don't know. It was just, there's so many questions I have.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think that for y'all that are confused what we're talking about, I know we gave away a lot of spoilers, but I'll put some timestamps in the episode. But if you guys want to watch that episode, if you've seen it, let's have a dialogue about it. Because I think there's so many different perspectives that people can get out of the episode. And I think that's what I like about Black Mirror. Because it forces you to think. Yeah. And I think that these conversations should definitely be had. So let us know what y'all think on the episode called Striking Vipers. So another story that I saw in the news was about Harvard and their decision to rescind the acceptance letter of a student that said racial remarks in the past. So the student that said racial remarks in the past, his name was Kyle Kashev, and he was actually one of the students that was in the building whenever the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shooting happened in Florida. So he had been making waves in the news because of his activism and his, I guess, his visibility when it comes to political issues. So he was he's verified on social media and everything. So apparently he made some racial remarks in the past, like 2 years ago, about his fellow students in some kind of group chat that they had. And Harvard got wind of this and they said, hey, send us all the documents about this incident and we're going to make a decision on whether we want to keep you at our school or not. So a couple days go by, they send him a letter saying that, hey, we rescind your acceptance letter. So he goes on this Twitter rant talking about how it's not fair that he got his letter revoked and stuff like that. So in the statement on Twitter, this is what he said. I've recently been made aware of screenshots circulating that include offensive comments former classmates and I made a few years ago, long before the shooting. I want to address this with honesty and transparency. We were 16-year-olds making idiotic comments using callous and inflammatory language in an effort to be extreme and as shocking as possible. I'm embarrassed by it, but I want to be clear that the comments I made are not indicative of who I am or who I've become in the years since. This past year has forced me to mature and grow in an incredibly drastic way. My world, like everyone else's in Parkland, was turned upside down on February 14th. When your classmates, your teachers, and your neighbors are killed, it transforms you as a human being. I see the world through different eyes, and I'm embarrassed by the petty, flippant kid I was in those screenshots. I believe that those who have gotten to know me since see that I'm a better person than that. I can and will do better moving forward. So that's what he said. Mm-hmm. But when I read that, I felt like he was kind of using the shooting as an excuse, like as an event that changed him.
But I think for him, it did change him. Like mm-hmm. you said, he's verified. And without that shooting, mm-hmm. he wouldn't have reached that status and that public figure mm-hmm. status mm-hmm. Without it. So for him, it is like a monumental thing, even though like, I don't know, it sometimes is like this pity party of, oh, this happened to me. I'm using this as an excuse. But like you said, it really did change his life, mm-hmm. right? I feel some type of way about this because there are so many schools that let people in that don't really do a thorough kind of vetting for people like this. Mm-hmm. Like, the college process, it's very...
subjective.
It's subjective, and it's kind of like this quick thing. I know there's so many applicants to schools, like, it's hard for them to really look into people like this. So my question is, like, if he didn't have the status that he has now, would they have looked into it? Probably not,
because I guess a few like outside groups were sending Harvard, hey, look at what this kid has been saying. Yeah. Based on that, they asked, hey, we've been hearing this news. If it's true, send us the receipt so we can have a board meeting and consider you for acceptance or denial.
Yeah, but I guess like, are they doing this for every student now? I'm absolutely sure that there are other people within that admitted class that have probably said the same thing. Well, I don't know what he said, actually, but, like, I'm
he's
sure...
He's definitely not the only one that's ever had their acceptance rescinded.
Yeah.
In an article I was reading, it said that there's been 10 people, like, over the past couple of years that have had their acceptances revoked. So he's not the only one. But I will say that for Harvard, I expect them to have higher standards when it comes to who they take. I think that there's going to be plenty of other schools that are going to accept him.
Yeah.
So don't feel salty that Harvard is not going to accept you, because we should all be responsible for what we say.
I guess it's not even about like Harvard. Like, to me, it's not really about Harvard accepting him. It's just that it's out now, and that other schools, it's going to be like, oh, Harvard denied this person, but this school is going to let him in, like, and then, like,
either way, there's going to be some school that's going to take him.
Yeah, I'm sure, like, some school is going to take him, but it's, like, what school, you know?
Mm-hmm. He's devastated. He's trying to, like, rally support.
I mean, imagine if you got into Harvard.
No, I don't care. Like, if you made racist remarks in the past, I don't care that a shooting happened. Using that shooting as an excuse, oh, I have clarity now, and I'm no longer the racist person I was in the past, doesn't fly as an excuse for me. I feel like as students, as people, we should be responsible for the things that we say. And yes, no, you can grow from the things that you say, but this is a consequence. Like, if you're going to say things, know that there are consequences to every action you make.
But do you think that it is possible that he has changed or no?
No.
So you don't think anyone
How can you change? I guess grow in your maturity level and your understanding.
I know people like at UT that have changed a lot from their views after coming to college. I mean, that like life experiences really do change you mm-hmm. and they can change your perspective. I know people are like, yeah, I grew up in a small town, a Republican with this view and that view. But like after I came here and talked to more people and like just like my eyes were opened, mm-hmm. I changed my views. Like I don't agree with what my parents said anymore and I don't agree with this or that. So, like, I don't think what he said is okay at all, but I do believe that people can change because of certain life circumstances.
No, I think people can change, but to me, this
read
as...
You just said, how can people change?
No, to me, this read as, this shooting happened, I'm going to use this shooting to maximize my privilege and my ability to garner sympathy. That way, people can be like, oh, I'm this kid that experienced this shooting, and because of this, Harvard, please let me in, please forgive me. But no, like, you said something, own up to it. This is the consequences of what you said, and I'm sorry that happened, but that's just the reality of the world that we live in. There's so many other people that are facing consequences for stuff that maybe they've grown from, but they don't get a second chance. He should be humbled in the fact that he's not like experiencing being blackballed from other universities, there's going to be other schools that are going to accept him. So this is just, it comes with the territory. Yeah. So just deal with it. For our main topic today, we are discussing roommates. Terrible roommates, good roommates, our experience living with roommates. And I will say that in life, wherever you stand in life, there's probably been a point in time where you've had to live with somebody that you did know or you didn't know, and you had to make this relationship work. Because I see living with roommates as a marriage. If you're living with...
I don't, because after 1 year, I'm out.
Exactly. It's like a 1 year marriage. If you're living with roommates that you don't know that are random, I think that's an arranged marriage. So living with roommates, people have different takes. And anytime that I've come across having discussions about roommates, people are always interested to know, hey, are you friends with your roommates? Are you cool with your roommates? What is your relationship like with your roommates? Because I feel honestly that a lot of people have bad relationships with their roommates.
I feel like it can go three ways. You can have a really good relationship with your roommates. You guys can become friends. You can have a neutral relationship. Y'all don't really talk. You mind your business. You're in the same space. You coexist, whatever. And then there's the bad relationship.
Right.
You don't like each other. You get in each other's way. The other person annoys you. They do this and that. And it's just a bad relationship.
And I think that a lot of people have bad relationships because when you initially meet whoever you're living with, you don't establish boundaries. You don't establish rules. You don't establish do's and don'ts when it comes to what you do tolerate and what you don't tolerate.
But what about, okay, so in my situation, with my most recent roommate, the person I live with now, I did establish those boundaries and it still has not been.
Okay,
like,
so what boundaries did you establish before y'all met and how did it work out?
Okay. So with my previous roommate, she was really dirty, and I don't mean she was messy. I mean she was dirty.
Dirty.
Y'all, like, I'm serious. But I was like, hey, I want someone who is responsible, like, pays stuff on time, who is clean. I don't want to clean up after you because I'm not your parent, and I don't like having to tell someone that they need to be clean. I want to come home and feel comfortable in my living space. I want someone who I can talk to, like, open communication. Basically, I just set the boundaries of what, like, I wanted out of roommate. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking for anything above and beyond, right, because I've lived with a lot of people in my life. Like, I shared a restroom with three other girls.
One restroom.
Yes, I'm here. So, like, there are things I can tolerate, right, you know? It's just not been a good situation.
Mm.
So, when this girl moved in, let's call her B.
Okay.
Right? So let's call her B. Hey, B. So my old roommate, K, she had left the apartment kind of messy because I'm telling y'all, she was dirty, right? So I told her, I texted K and I was like, hey, the room's still kind of dirty. My friend Nyrell was with me at the time. And I was like, hey, Nyrell, come look at this. Mm-hmm. Like, tell me I'm not crazy. And she's like, I would not live here. So she left it kind of dirty, even though she was supposed to clean it. Mm-hmm. So I told her that, and she's like, oh, I cleaned it to the best of my ability. If it's not that clean, I'm sorry. I'm like, you shouldn't be saying sorry to me.
Say sorry to the next person that's going to be living there.
I was like, I think you should just tell her in case, you know? So B comes. It's her day to move in. She comes with her mom and her brother. And her mom's like, ha! Her mom's African. She's like, this place, it's filthy. Like, I'm not living here. I'm not moving my daughter's stuff in here. She's like, how could you be living with a person who lived like this? And this is after she had cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
She had come in, like, and cleaning for, like, hours, right, with one of her friends.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, I'm not moving here. This is terrible. Blah, 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 blah. Basically, they called the apartment and they were like, you need to send someone over to clean it immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's kind of unacceptable.
It
when
really
you're coming
is.
In to live in a new space, you expect it to be clean and ready for somebody else to inhabit that space.
Yeah.
So for them to come in and see how nasty in the condition it was left
and
in
especially
is
especially after
right.
She had already quote
cleaned.
Unquote cleaned. So that's, like, that's an even
red
bigger
flag,
thing.
Yeah.
So from this, I was like, okay, like, she's probably clean also, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is mostly her mom because B was not saying anything, really.
Mm-hmm.
So later, I came to the realization that B is also not clean.
In fact, dirty.
Yes. She is also, I don't think to the same extent as K, but mm-hmm. she also is not clean.
Right.
She, I don't think one time has ever cleaned the living room or kitchen area. All the time, Cheerios, wrappers, whatever, on the floor.
Mm.
just leaves things out.
Dirtiness is one of my pet peeves. Whenever I was living with four guys, I'm like, okay, this place is probably going to get dirty. Because guys are nasty. They just are. Like, guys are dirty. I'm maybe the exception. I like things clean. I like things to smell clean. So whenever I walked into my apartment, I was like, okay, this is all right. I see this has some potential. I looked down at the floor, and I crouched down and I slid my finger across the hardwood floor.
Ew, why would you do that?
And I was like, look how dirty, it was so dirty. Ew. And I was like, sweeping. And I was like, I don't think these people have ever swept this floor before.
That's what, like, I'm saying. I sweep the floor and I mop it sometimes, but she's never wiped down a counter, like, nothing. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me because you're living in the space too, and I keep everything clean. So, like, I'll clearly see the stuff that she's left out or, like, left on the floor.
Yeah.
So, like, to me, it's very evident. This is your stuff. You left it out a mess. You should also be able to see this. So, another thing is she only uses, like, single-use stuff, like plastic,
cups,
paper plates, cups, whatever. So she's really wasteful, right? And she fills up the trash. I've told you this, right?
Yes.
So, like, the thing is, she produces a lot more trash than me because she uses plastic cups, paper plates, knives, forks, spoons, the whole thing. She doesn't, like, own any real stuff,
which personally I do not mind because I do not like washing dishes. I feel like it's easy for me to use a paper plate, throw that shit in the trash, and just be done with it. I don't like dishes in the sink, so that's my solution to that.
I guess for me, it's okay to an extent, but, like, everything. She'll come out, get a snack, like, grab a plastic bag, a Ziploc, go to her room. So today is when I witnessed something that was crazy to me.
Today?
So she uses plastic bottles, right? Like, mm-hmm. water bottles, mm-hmm. which annoys me because, like, she uses a lot. And she kind of just leaves them everywhere. Like, she'll have some in the pantry area half filled. Like, she drank half of it, but just left it in the pantry. Mm-hmm. And also in the fridge. So today, I knew she used, like, plastic cups, but I didn't realize that she takes the water from a plastic water bottle and then puts it into a plastic cup.
What is it? Is that fancier? Like,
I don't know,
what?
But I was like, this is double the waste because you have this plastic ball that you just carry into
that you could
room.
Easily drink from.
Yeah, you could drink from it, but instead you take it and pour it into another plastic
She's
cup.
She's weird.
And, like, she just uses water for it, but she throws them away all the time. I'm Mm-mm. like, this is crazy.
No. And I think that whenever you notice initial problems with your roommates, like, stuff like that is something that you don't want to be nagging, but at the same time,
it's like, I don't want to tell you you can't use
how to live your life.
Plates. And plastic cups, you know, but, like, to me, it's a bit much to be using plastic bottles and plastic cups.
That's so
stupid. You know, it's
stupid.
Not like she's filling up the plastic cup from the water pitcher, mm-hmm. like she's...
Or that it's juice and you're pouring it into a cup. It's water.
It's water.
And from a water bottle, you know?
So why not just drink from
any
the bottle?
Sense.
I was like, this is... Do you feel better from drinking from a cup or
what? I don't know. That's
anyway,
so weird.
With all this stuff that she uses, she puts it in the trash can. And I don't think she likes taking out the trash. She'll act so strange around the trash, like touching it with, like, one finger to close it and stuff. I'm like,
you're the one that fills it up the most, too.
I know, you're the one that fills it up. So one day, like, I noticed she wasn't taking out the trash a lot. And I was like, hey, I feel like I'm always taking out the trash. Because I would notice if, like, she took out the trash, it'd be a new bag if I put something in there. Mm-hmm. But it's always full. And when I would take it out because I don't like trash to be smelling. So I asked her about it one day. I was like, hey, do you mind taking out the trash more? Because there's a lot of times where I open it and it's just full. Like, she just leaves it where it's full to the brim. And she's like, oh, yeah, I do take it out. I think if you can squish it down more, then it's not full.
No.
And I was like, but I open it and it's, like, coming out the top.
No. And I'm of the belief that if you're the one that's filling the trash most, you're the one that needs to take it out. Because I produce, like, barely any waste. So when I see other people that are filling it up, I'm like, I'm not taking that out.
Yeah, like, I don't mind taking out the trash. Like, if I'm the one who put the thing in that makes it full, I'll take it out. But to me, how are you going to make it full, squeeze it, and then be closing it? And then when I open it, it's, like,
because bags
out?
Have capacities too. If you fill it, it's gonna burst. And worst case scenario, there's a trail of juice or something.
There have
and...
been juice trails because I take it out because I'm so tired of it. I don't want to wait. Like, there's a certain point where I'm done waiting for her to take it out. So I take it out this one day. It's just a trail of juice
in my
kitchen, out the door to the trash disposal. And I was like, this is nasty because now I have to, like, mop the floor.
Yeah.
This is extra work for me.
And I feel like, honestly, Nikki, you might be better off just living by yourself. I don't think you're meant to live with other people, to be honest.
The thing is, I've lived with so many people my entire life, so I feel like I'm tolerable of these things. I don't know. But I don't know.
Because you never know what you're going to get. I will say, living with random roommates is like a mixed bag. You can get somebody good that you get along with great. You can get somebody weird that you don't get along with.
Yeah, but I feel like there are other clean people out in the world. Like, right?
People, honestly, people live differently, even though we all like cohabitate in this one world.
I know, but like, I've been to other people's apartments and be like, wow, this is so clean, you know? So I know there are other clean people out there.
But you never know. Like, people, like, live different lives. You see them in the real world, but when it comes to truly living with somebody, you'd be surprised what you see.
The thing is, why were you lying to me in the beginning?
Because she needs a place to stay. That's
why. Why were you lying
to
me?
I'm clean. I did the dishes. I
did
this.
I wasn't nice about it. Like, oh, yeah, like, da-da-da. I need someone who's kind of clean. I was like, hey, I've had this problem with my roommate in the past. I've had this problem, and I don't want to deal with that again. So if you're not clean, if you can't deal with that, don't live with me. Like I told you straight up.
The mature thing is to establish boundaries first. And you did that. You did your job. So for it to twist around and for her to like not be clean at the end of the day is just annoying.
It's funny because there's this day I kept noticing that there was trash juice, right? So I take out the trash, there'd be a trail, and I look inside and there's still liquid inside. I was like, this is so weird because I'm not like pouring things in there. It's so weird. And one day I open up the trash to throw something away and I see a ramen noodle cup. And whatever, eat ramen noodles. I don't care. But you know, after you eat ramen noodles, there's soup left in it, right? If you're not going to drink the soup,
what do you do?
Put it in the sink. Exactly. You just pour it away. But instead, she carefully put this cup so it's standing up in the trash. But even if you do that, as you put more things in the trash,
it's going to fall over.
Yeah, it's going to fall over. It's going to crush and it's going to leak out. And I was like, this is crazy. I was like, hey, I don't know why I needed to say that to a person.
You shouldn't need to.
I shouldn't need to tell a person, hey, if you're eating ramen noodles, pour out the soup because like, you're just leaving a trail of juice in there.
Because it's the same thing as like throwing away a half empty can of soda. What you're supposed to do is pour out the rest in the sink and then put it in the trash or the recycling, whatever you do.
I'm just like, isn't this common sense?
Some people just don't get it. And that's the thing. You never know what you're going to get because people are truly weird and crazy.
They are.
And that was my fear whenever I was moving into my apartment because there's three people already living here. And I was the fourth roommate that was coming to an established setting. So I was like, who are these people? Are they going to be weird? Are they like, how are they going to be? So it turns out that I got the ideal like living situation.
That's good.
My roommates were all cool. We stay out of each other's way. Everybody gets along fine. And I knew that whoever I was living with was going to be lucky to have me because like, honestly, I give people entertainment. I'm funny. Like people, I can get along with just about anybody. So I knew that whoever would end up getting me as a roommate would be blessed. And I was blessed to have them. I know they'll never say it, but they were blessed to have me for the brief time that we were living together.
But I feel like if I like a person, I'll be a really good roommate. Like the person I lived with my first year, we just couldn't live together after because of logistics, but I really like living with her and we were good roommates. And the second roommate, Kay, initially we were like kind of friends. We were cool with each other. We didn't really hang out, but we talked to each other when we're in the same space and whatnot. We like talked to each other and it was fine. I cook a lot and I bake a lot. There are times where I made a cheesecake and I was like, hey, here, I made this food or I made a meal. And it's hard cooking for one person, so I always like had extras. I was like, hey, I made food, like feel free to have some, or I made cookies and whatnot. Like
I don't do that. My food
like,
is my food.
That's what I'm telling you. Like, I'm not, like, a crazy person who's like, I hate everyone. Right. It's just like...
You're livable.
Yeah,
like,
livable.
Yeah. When it comes to food is my food. I remember
I'm that type of person, too.
One of my roommates was like, hey, yeah, y'all can help yourselves to anything that's in there. Just leave some for me. That doesn't fly with me.
No, I'm like, my stuff is my stuff, but if I tell you, you can have something.
Yeah, or if you ask, of course, I'll give you some.
Yeah, my thing is just ask me, and if it's okay, then it's okay.
Because some people have roommates that just scour through their stuff and eat them. I would be pissed off. Imagine if somebody ate your jollof rice. I would be so mad.
No, there's this one time, so...
Is this the honey?
Yeah. So one time, like, I bought some honey, whatever, right? But you know, sometimes food from the store, it's sealed, right? But, like, I don't always check my food, but it's like, if the seal is broken, don't buy it, right? So I bought this honey, and I hadn't opened it. So one day, probably a week or two after, because I don't use honey every day, like, I go to use my honey, and I see that it's open, and it's used, and I was like, oh my god, did I buy, like...
Oh my god!
I'd have to go all the way back to the store and be that person. my honey was open. Like,
yeah, it's what? Annoying. It's annoying. Yeah.
So I was like, no, like, that's so rare for that to happen, you know?
It can't be.
And I was like, no. So I text my roommate because she wasn't home. And I was like, hey, did you... Why am I that person that's saying, hey, did you use my honey? But it's like, the thing is, it wasn't even open. Like, she took it upon herself to take my honey, open it, and then use it. And she's like, oh, yeah, I used it for my tea. And I was like, it wasn't even open.
That's annoying.
It'd be one thing if it was open, but she took it upon herself to open it.
No, I think that you need to have respect for other people's stuff. Especially if your groceries are in two separate areas. That's like an invasion of privacy.
You see my place. It is.
Like, that would not fly with me. If you want something, ask me. And more than likely, I will say, yes, you can use it. It's really not a big deal. It's like sugar or milk or anything.
I was like, if she asked me, I'd be fine with it. But who are you to go on my
open
stuff?
Something that's open unopened? That's wild. I would have some words. I really would.
She's crazy. To be opening, I could never go and open some. Maybe something's open, like I just use it, maybe, but like something that's unopened, no. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's also this one time with Kay. So I told y'all she's dirty, she didn't clean, so she had like her own plates and stuff. We both had our own stuff, and we had established that we just use our own stuff, mm-hmm. right? So this one day, I'm doing my dishes, and I realize, oh, I don't see one of my plates. And sometimes I eat in my room, so I just check my room.
It wasn't there.
So I was like, oh, did you use my plate? Like, it's not a big deal if you didn't. She's like, oh, yeah, I did. None of my plates were clean, so I used yours. And I was like, so you couldn't wash it?
Was it just still dirty in her room somewhere?
I think it was in her room or in the sink or something. But I was like, you couldn't just
wash one of your own? Like, that's laziness.
How long does it take to wash
it? Doesn't plate? And that's the thing, I hate washing dishes. Like, I will use
still,
plastic
at the same
until
time, how long does it take to wash
not long
plate?
Especially if you eat the meal and wash it immediately, then it's easy work.
Even then it's like 1 minute max to wash a plate. So like, it wasn't even a big deal that she used my plate. It's just like, the reason is that she doesn't clean after herself.
Right, and used up all her own plates. So she's like, Nikki's plates will do it just fine today. That's wild. I told you that I don't like smells, right? Uh-huh. I do not do smells. So I have to share a bathroom. Every time my roommate, like, poops, like, he doesn't put on the fan, and he doesn't spray anything. Nah. So when I walk in, I'm like, like, it smells. And I'm like, the fan isn't on. There's air freshener there, but you choose not to use it. Like, that gets on my nerves.
Come on, decency.
Oh, and then you can hear my frustration as I slam the door and I spray on whatever
needs to be sprayed. Come on, flip a switch.
I don't know if it's because you don't like using the fan, it's loud or what, but that's
even
nasty.
Even without the fan, spray something. You do something, you know? You have to do some kind of method.
It's disgusting. And another thing I'm realizing is that also, whenever they poop, instead of putting their poop tissue in the toilet, they put it in the trash.
Oh,
who does that? Who does that? Are there people out there? That's not normal to me.
Oh,
like, toilet tissue is flushable. After you wipe your butt, you put it in the toilet and you flush it.
Okay, that's nasty because you don't know when you're going to take out your bathroom trash either.
Yes.
Like, it's just sitting there
Yeah, that's why I don't take out the bathroom trash, because I don't put anything in there. Anything that I poop, I put it in the toilet. That's disgusting.
That's nasty.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, my bathroom trash is just, like, Q-tips. I use, like, facial pads and, like, makeup-wise. But toilet paper goes in the toilet.
And another pet peeve is putting stuff that doesn't belong in a bathroom trash in a bathroom trash. Chips, soda, food, that goes in the main trash. That doesn't go in the bathroom. Like, stuff like that gets on my nerves. So there's never been a day in my life that I've taken out that bathroom trash because I don't put anything in there. That's not my trash. That's y'all's.
That's nasty.
Isn't that disgusting? Yes. And I'm not trying to be like over the top and like...
No, but it's just like sometimes things should be common sense to a person. I really believe that so many people lack common sense. Mm-hmm. But things like if you poop, you put that toilet paper in the trash can 100%.
Right.
That's nasty.
It's
you
disgusting.
Put on the air freshener, you spray something. Like, you can't just leave it there smelling.
But for four boys, like living here at once, I think that for the most part, everywhere was clean for four boys. Like, the times
that's
they've
good.
Been there when all four of us were here, it wasn't, like, ever, like, crazy dirty, right?
No, that's good.
Yeah, and it's good. We never had any issues when it came to cleanliness. Like, they would leave their dishes a couple days, they would get them. Like, everything was just a well-oiled machine. So I was lucky in that regard. But some people, they have, they leave it to when it starts molding, and that's so nasty. Oh,
my
goodness.
Oh, did I tell you my roommate, she finally threw away her eggs?
Oh, she did? The eggs have been sitting there for, what, years?
My current roommate, B, so, like, this is so weird, but she would buy new packs of eggs, like, every month or so, right? But she didn't throw away the other ones, nor were the other ones empty. Like, she just kept eggs everywhere.
Scattered basically. Everywhere, yeah.
She had, like, 4 packs of eggs at this point. And I think last week or so, she finally threw them away. And I promise you, one is from December.
December.
Yeah, because I saw it in there. I was like, oh, she's not going to throw away her eggs before winter break, you know? And I came back, it's still there. Hmm. Months later, in May, it's still there. So, obviously, those eggs are bad.
Right. Because I was of the belief that eggs didn't go bad, but I guess they do.
They definitely do.
They do, excuse
they
me.
They definitely go bad. Hmm. But one thing I was going to say about B was when she first moved in, I was happy because I had another black roommate. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, we can be friends. But every time I try talking to her, she just gave me, like, a side eye.
Yeah. And it's fine to be friendly with your neighbors. I feel like some people have this belief that they have to be best friends with your roommates.
No, I was like, at first I was like, okay, we can try and be friends, but I feel like you can at least be friendly with a person, mm-hmm. right?
Because you're living with them.
Yeah, we're living together. We're in the same space. Like, I'm going to see you probably every day. Mm-hmm. So, like, I would try and talk to her. She'd give me a side eye or give me, like, short responses. Like, she didn't want to talk to me.
You're like, okay.
I was like, all right. I guess, like, I'm just going to stop trying. But there's this one... But, like, I live with you. I'm still going to say hi to you, mm-hmm. right? There's this one time in our apartment, like, I said hi to her and she didn't say anything.
Damn, I would be mad. I would never say hi to them again or greet them or anything. Like, that's, like, for us, like, whenever people would walk in, we really didn't, like, say, hey. Sometimes we would, like, if
but
you make
like
eye contact.
She just walked. It was like, I was in the kitchen and she's also coming to the kitchen, like, to.
Did you look at her and wave and say, hey?
Yeah, it's like, because I stayed in there. It's not like I immediately left right. and she's getting food or something.
She might have had AirPods in.
She didn't.
That's,
she didn't.
That's
I was
messed
like,
up.
Okay. All right. So this is how it is. And there's another time I was walking home from class and I guess she was leaving the garage mm-hmm. and I see her and I was like, hey, I waved and said, hey, like, so she could see me and we made eye contact. She looked at me and looked away.
Damn. She does not want to fuck with you. And that's fine. That's fine.
I was like, what did I do to you?
Nothing.
For you to like even ignore me like this? It's so crazy.
I was happy because I, out of the 4 or 3 other people I was living it, with one of them was black. I was happy about that. Mm-hmm. But he's problematic, though. Because I feel like he's one of those that thinks that everybody should say the N-word.
Oh.
He's one of those that thinks that nothing matters. Like, race doesn't matter. I'm like, yes, it does. So I would always argue with him because he doesn't make any sense. Like, I remember one time we had a conversation. He was like, there's no purpose to school or whatever. I was like, then why are you here? Then drop
no
out.
No one forced you
like,
to go to college.
He just doesn't make any sense sometimes.
I can understand that in, like, high school. But, like, you're in college already. Like, you went through all that. And you
no.
leave.
But the only, I guess the only thing that annoyed me, I don't really get annoyed that often, but there was one time I had a party for my org and I had to borrow a beer pong table from a friend. Mm-hmm. So after we were all playing beer pong, some of my roommates, I think, were there too playing beer pong. The table was left there after the party and then my roommates would play beer pong. So I'd be studying at the table and then they would automatically start up a game of beer pong while I'm sitting there studying. So this happened one time. I was like, okay, they'll get over it. The table was still there. The next day, guess what they did? Play beer pong. The next day, what did they do? Play beer pong. I was like, this has to stop. So the next day, I packed up the thing and I sent it off to my friend that I borrowed it from. The very next day, they're like, hey, what happened to the beer pong table? And I was like, oh, I took it back to my friend. And they're like, damn, that same day, they go to the store and buy a beer pong table. I was like, no. But the thing is, the cups that they were using were my cups. So while they were gone, I went to where the cups were and hid it. And I hid it under my bed and stuffed it under my bed. And then they were like, damn, what happened to the cups? I was like, I don't know.
They probably went right down to the store and bought some more cups.
So they did. They went to the store and then they bought more cups. I was like, when will this end? And I hated that. I was like, beer pong is really not that fun for y'all to be playing it every single day. It's actually really, I get bored after one round. So that was the only thing that annoyed me. And yeah, for the most part, we all got along. They were cleanish. They were fine. Yeah. They are. Right.
Okay, so with my first roommate, Kay. So at first, things were all good, right? Until like I realized she was getting dirtier and dirtier, and I kept having to clean after her, right? Which was whatever. But there was a whole another situation with her toward the end of us living together. Mm-hmm. So we were actually supposed to live together for a third year, but there was a whole situation. So with me and my finances and stuff, I do everything by myself, right? But I think her parents are more involved with her side. So, this is so annoying, but I feel like she was acting like a child during this whole thing. So what happened was, there was one point, maybe in November of some year, we were living together, and she hadn't paid the water bill or something like that. And I was like, hey, you only paid the rent, you didn't pay the water bill, because they bill us for that. And she's like, oh, okay, like, I'll tell my dad to pay it. Whatever. Situation over. A few months later, I was like, hey, I don't know if you've noticed, but, like, on the ledger, it says that you've only been paying the rent, like, the base rent price, and not the other bills. And she's like, oh, okay. And then a few weeks later, I'm at class and I start getting a bunch of text messages. So it's basically a group chat with my roommate, mm-hmm. Kay, and both her parents. So they start texting me, hey, so I know there's this situation of us not paying the water, but I think we've actually been paying it, and I think you're the one who actually owes money. Uh-oh. And I was like, no, I brought this like situation up like 4 months ago. You guys clearly have been paying the base rent. If you look at the like ledger, it's mm-hmm. clear that you're not paying for the bills. And they start bringing up things that I guess weren't clear to them, because when I was in Houston, I didn't pay the bills that month. I just Venmo'd her. I was like, hey, I'm in Houston. I forgot to pay the bill because I was doing it by check at that time. Do you mind paying it? And I'll Venmo you. So it was like little things like that where I Venmo'd her and she Venmo'd me. And the entire time during this conversation, she was not speaking. It was like her parents having this argument with me. Mm-hmm. She was in the group chat. She wasn't saying anything. She wasn't defending me. I was having to pull like all these receipts mm-hmm. of Venmo. Like, I paid her for this, I paid her for that. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, are you a child right now? Yeah. Like, we're in a group chat. Your parents are attacking me. You're not saying anything. You also have these Venmo receipts. You're not even backing mm-hmm. me up at all. So I just felt,
and did she not receive the Venmo or what? Like, what is she? Like,
the thing is, so what's the confusion? Because then? I also sent them text receipts of me being like, hey, do you mind paying on this time? And I'll Venmo you. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously she got the Venmo money.
So what is the confusion? Maybe she used the Venmo money for something else.
Maybe, and she didn't give it to her mm-hmm. parents or mm-hmm. something like that. They're like, oh, okay, I guess we understand that. But what about this month? I was like, okay, I have receipts. Receipt, 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 receipt. And right. What happened? And she was not saying anything. I was like, you also took part of this. Kay, you also took yeah. part of this.
Because when you sent her the Venmo stuff, did she respond and said, oh, got it, thanks,
like, or something like that? She got it. Yeah, okay. She got it. And that's the thing. She wasn't saying anything though, and I just felt really attacked, because at the time we're like 20 years old. Mm-hmm. I feel like your parents shouldn't be saying everything for you,
because my parents do have no interaction with my roommates.
Exactly. So like, I wasn't even gonna like bring my parents into this.
That's so embarrassing. Exactly. Don't do that.
And yeah. I was like, I wouldn't do this. Why are your parents being brought into this, and why are your parents attacking me while you're not saying anything? Yeah.
And I think that being adults, there's a way you can handle things. Stuff. Handle stuff if it's yeah. between you and the roommate.
If you thought I owed money, you should have just told me that.
Addressed you.
Yeah, you yeah. should address me and told me that, instead of like your parents doing
or the same. Lying and saying that you didn't pay it or yeah, something like that. Like that's
you
immature.
You have the receipts also, mm-hmm. and she didn't say anything. And by the time I got home like that day, and mm-hmm. she still hadn't said anything. And then later she came home, I just looked at her like, dead stare.
Yeah,
you're not saying anything. Obviously you're getting the text messages.
It's annoying, and it's like a maturity thing. She's not mature enough to handle the situation on her own, so she has to like bring in her parents or let them handle it. Being an adult, you have to like step up and be mature. Yeah. And that's something that she wasn't mature
and
about.
And the thing is, I brought this situation up months ago, like when it started. Mm-hmm. And I guess she wasn't telling her parents how much the water bill was or whatever. Mm. Whatever the situation was, it wasn't adding up. And yeah. I had brought it up a long time ago when the difference was like $30. Mm-hmm. And then it ended up being like $100. And the thing is, I didn't own the money. Like, I proved to them I didn't owe it. It was mm-hmm. this whole fiasco, though.
And that could have been easily like handled yeah, and averted.
It was like $100. It wasn't even a lot of money.
But
to
still,
be,
like yeah. it's something that could have been handled between y'all.
It really
like
could
people
have.
Are annoying, and that's why for me, I know that I'm a person that needs to live with somebody because I'm an extrovert. I can't be alone by myself. I'll start getting depressed and thinking all kinds of wild stuff. Like I need to live with roommates. I think that with everything that you've gone through, you need to live in a studio by yourself with
it's
no
so expensive
humans.
Living
I know.
Alone, though, I know. But it's just like to me that was so childish.
It is childish. Like even with passive aggressive stuff, I feel like people undergo that when they live with roommates, leaving sticky notes. Yeah. Don't
that,
leave
she,
that.
The thing is, after she never apologized for that situation. She never said, "Oh, I should have defended you. Oh, I'm sorry for what my parents said." Mm-hmm. At the end, her parents were like, "Oh, Nikki, if you ever want to visit where we live, we'd be happy for you to stay with us. We really want you and Kay to be friends." No. And I was like, What?
No.
No.
After that 1 year, marriage is over. The divorce. Y'all get the divorce. No, move
so,
on.
Like, the thing is, I said before, we were planning on living together, like, for this school year. Mm-hmm. And after that, like, probably a good month, 2 months after, like, we didn't really talk to each other. The situation was awkward. I had no desire to talk to her anymore, really. Yeah,
and rightly so, or rightfully so.
Yeah, like, we lived in the same space, and I think in May or April or something, she's like, hey, I'm actually going to move into a house with some of my friends. And I was like, okay.
Cool. Bye.
I was like, all right.
Bye.
All right. Because I don't care.
I think that with anything, you need to, like, be mature about everything. Because I told you, there's been situations where my friends have had their roommates leave sticky notes, oh, wash the dishes, do this. If you have a problem with me or what I'm doing, address it to my face. There's my phone. There's right. You can see me in person. Just like, you don't need to do all that extra stuff.
Yeah, I think just after that, like, we were cool before, like, apart from her being, like, kind of, like, dirty in our space, like, it's like a wiping down the table, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But, like, after that, I was just like, nah, you're not the type of person I want to be around. I just don't care for you anymore.
I think it's the initial meeting between potential roommates is the most important meeting, because you need to be, like, no nonsense. Establish your boundaries and, like, say, hey, this is the case. If something else happens, this is what's going to happen. Like, you need to be clear with the person, because that's why people, I think, have such bad living situations, because everybody wants to get along, and because you don't want to push anybody's buttons, you just let things fly over your head, like, oh, that's okay, this is okay, things build up, and then
once you start saying that's okay, it's your mind, it's not, it adds up, and then when you get to that one point where it's not okay,
it's not okay,
and then you can't just blow up, because in the past you've been saying, oh, it's okay, it's fine, you know?
No.
You can't.
Be respectful, and don't let people take advantage of you. Don't let people live rent-free, and...
I'm kidding. The thing is, it was like $100, honestly, in like water bills. But it was just.
No,
like,
you need to hold your ground and be mature. Because I think it's important for everybody to live with roommates, because eventually, if you're going to get married, you're going to be living with whoever you're married with for as long as y'all are married. Yeah,
you know what? That's another thing. I feel like there's this. For some people, the traditional view that you shouldn't live with your spouse before you get married. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think you should.
You should.
Because living with someone versus, like, spending a couple of nights with them is very different.
It is very different. Yeah. I think we talked about it in the third episode. Like, living
things
with...
come out. You after do. Your time.
Honestly, I think that's the best way to know a person, actually living with them. Because you're not seeing how they are at work. You're not seeing how they are at parties. You're seeing how they live their lives in their homes. Or in the home that you all share. And it can be telling. You learn so much about somebody. Whether you learn how nasty they are. Whether you learn at what they do. Just different weird things.
But, like, everyone has their quirks and their annoying, like, habits. So that's, like, something that you kind of have to deal with. But only to an extent, mm-hmm. really. Because you can't be dealing with whatever.
No. Like, I don't know if I could live with my friends. I don't know.
There's a lot of people that can't, because it's like, oh, you have this friendship and you start living with them and then you realize there's things about them that you don't like, mm-hmm. and then that gets in the way of, like, your friendship.
Yes, and you don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
Ugh. Like I said, it's a marriage. It really is. And once, I don't know.
But you don't need to be married to everyone.
That's true.
So you don't need to be married to your friends.
Mm-hmm. Choose your spouses wisely or your roommates wisely.
Like, there's a lot of friends I know I cannot live with y'all.
No.
I couldn't.
Either you'll be a distraction or whatever, but everybody should figure out their living situation and just be mature about everything. So with that being said, when it comes to roommates, you have a mixed bag. It's going to be good or it's going to be bad. Like, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Go into it understanding that you're going to be living and cohabitating with somebody. And I think it's a give and take, too. You should not always be the person that is always right. Compromise is so important when you're living with somebody because everybody's different.
True.
So with that being said, I hope you guys, like, enjoyed our perspective.
Episode.
Yeah.
Just, like... I don't know. Everyone's so different. It's hard. And honestly, even meeting someone at first, it's hard to tell how they'll be in the future. Mm-hmm. Like, it could seem good and turn out bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've watched so many YouTube horror, like, roommate horror stories.
Yeah. Like, ours might even be tame. I'm sure some of y'all out there have some wild ass stories.
I've read stuff of, like, people peeing in their roommate's
Hell no.
Like, I don't just doing crazy things.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm glad I haven't had something that
drastic.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but you never know. It was good. I hope you guys, like, got to learn a little bit about our living situations, and maybe y'all have, like, roommate horror stories. If you do, please send it to us and we'll post it so
maybe
everybody can see.
Maybe even, like, pet peeves of things that you can't deal with of living with someone.
Yeah. because there's a lot, honestly. So yeah, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. You can follow us on our Instagram page at Polar Opposites Pod, and you can send us a listener letter at polaropposites.pod@gmail.com.
Or on Instagram. We'd love to hear from you guys. We'd love to share our perspective, answer any questions that you guys have about your life, mm-hmm. or just maybe even our life.
Yeah, anything y'all want to know, ask away and we'll answer it. So with that being said, we hope you guys have a good rest of your week, and we'll catch you on the next one. Hey guys, so if you've made it this far, you know that this episode isn't quite over yet. So first off, I wanted to thank everybody for continuing to listen to the podcast. If it wasn't for you guys, Nikki and I wouldn't be doing this right now. Thank you for giving us a rating. Thank you for giving us a review. We really do appreciate that. Thank you for sharing the podcast with a friend. Thank you for interacting with us online. You guys are the reason why we continue to do this. So I mentioned that this podcast isn't quite over yet because a listener actually sent us his own roommate horror story, and I decided to share that with you guys so you guys can see if you relate, if you have things in common, if you've had a better experience, if you've had a worse experience. Everybody has some kind of situation when it comes to roommates. So with that being said, I'll let y'all listen to his story.
Hey Justin, hey Nikki, hey everyone listening to Polar Opposites. My name is Alistair, and I just wanted to share you guys my roommate horror story. Please, everything I'm about to say is true, and it's a wild ride. A ride that has caused me a lot of pain and grief and stress. I just want to move out. I'm so ready to move out. So let's get started. When I moved, I was excited to be off of campus, off of the dorms. I had a good roommate. However, I was also rooming with a random person, and he ended up being one of my best friends. However, what he didn't tell us, what he didn't tell me before moving into this apartment, was that he was subletting under the books, and he was subletting to a man, the infamous Paul. Now, I'm changing this roommate's name, but if you want the real name, it's really not hard to find. and we'll talk about that a little later. So I move in and everything seemed fine. Here's the thing. Paul had a girlfriend who lived in Dallas. She was an EMT. And the first sign that showed Paul's personality was when the girlfriend would go back to Dallas to perform her ambulance work. Paul would bring back every night a different girl. And it was rampant cheating a lot of the time. A lot of these times these girls were still in college. All of these times these girls would be changing from day to day. Some I recognized, some I didn't. And it was all around just kind of a very terrible thing to do. There was one time where he even brought back two girls. He kicked my sleeping girlfriend off of the couch. And that, well, first of all, that's not cool. But second of all, he came out onto the balcony where I was hanging out with Tom. And he said to us, yo, I'm gonna get these girls really, really drunk so I can have sex with one of them. And the other one's just gonna like be passed out. And I thought that was like the weirdest, like most creepy concept to me. So I literally came back in and some girl was on the couch, some random girl. And I looked at her and I was like, you need to get out. And she was like, what? And I was like, it's not safe here. And she looked at me and Paul looked at me and I just left. I was like, I'm not doing this. So this is who we're talking about. The first really big issue happened when I was doing my homework late at night with all the lights on in my apartment, the lights that I pay for as well. It's probably about 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm doing my OChem homework. And Paul comes out, he looks at me, he's like, you know what? Do you need all these lights on? And I was like, I'm just kind of doing my homework. He turns them all off on me. And he's like, I don't go to work to pay for you to use my energy. And he walked out. To make matters worse, this is what he sent in the group chat the next day. And I quote, our utility charge was unnecessarily high. I've seen some of y'all consistently leave the balcony windows open while the AC is on, which is downright foolish and wasteful. That type of carelessness combined with other practices like leaving the lights on when there's no one in the room, putting on too many lights on. I'm sure you're not trying to waste your parents' money just as much as I don't come to work to pay for wasted energy. Let's all work together and be better about this. So, it turns out that it was all a farce. Nothing in our energy bill was even remotely off or more than it had been before. Let me just say that the living condition kind of deteriorated from there. I was so furious at this incident because it kept happening. I would be in the living room and he'd turn off all the lights on me and just walk out. And it got to a point where I just could not fathom that someone like this even existed on this planet. So I looked him up. I looked up his name. I was like, who is this person? Who am I living with? Who is this sublet that I had no idea I was going to be living with? And what I found, honestly, blew me away. After a quick Google search of his name, pulled up an article written by KXAN News Station 3 years ago. And what it said was this: Paul Blank, a UT student, got arrested this week for possessing $60,000 worth of fake ID material. A UT Austin police sting with an undercover detective discovered this ruse by buying one of these fake IDs, and basically they got arrested, and my roommate and some other dude at UT got third degree felonies, right? They're felons, right? And I was reading this and I was like, this cannot be my roommate. Like, there is no way. So what I tried to do is I went to UT directory and I typed in his last name. And lo and behold, there's only 5 people at UT with this specific last name. At this point, I'm like, okay, you know, it isn't a common last name. Then there's like a 50-50% shot that this Paul in the article is my roommate, Paul. What I decided to do is any sane human being would get a girl on the case, and I got my girlfriend, who is a CSI like expert, I swear to God. She found his mugshot online. Now, I did have to buy a subscription to a Crime Watchers website, which I have like a year subscription to, so if anyone listening needs like to look anyone up, hit me up. But I have it. I have my roommate's mugshot. It is confirmed. My roommate is a felon, which should make sense because he is subletting under the books. Everything in my mind was making perfect sense. The puzzle pieces were fitting together. I got pulled over the next day by a cop who wanted to do a survey in West Campus. And after answering his questions, he's like, yo, you probably can't ask a cop anything like on a normal basis. Do you have any questions for me? And I was like, actually, I do. Can you look up my roommate? And lo and behold, he did. And lo and behold, he couldn't tell me anything about the case because it wasn't just a misdemeanor. He said, I couldn't tell you anything because it is a felon charge, but chances are that he is on parole. Got him. I knew his history, but yet that is not where the story ends. I knew this information and I went to my other roommates and I was like, we have to kick him out. Like, he's just a terrible human being. He's causing me a lot of stress and he's like a felon. Whoa, bad news indeed. So let's get into the atrocities, shall we, that have happened during this year. Okay, so let's start. So first, the light thing. Okay, yeah, that's all good. I can get over it, but it didn't stop there. He'd be on the balcony. We'd all be hanging out. He'd look at some girls at the balcony over. He'd yell to us. He'd be like, he'd be drunk. And he'd be like, yo, can I F those girls? And I'd look at him and be like, no. It was just blatantly disrespectful, blatant to who he was. Is this kind of disgusting, like, jock kid? But let me tell you, he does not look like a Chad. He does not look like the normal fraternity boy. It was just sad. It was just sad. That's all I can say. It's just sad. So then I would dox it throughout the semester to make some money. Oh, he was drunk one night. And what did he tell me? He told me that he kicked one of my dogs against the wall because the dog, quote unquote, bit him. The dog does not bite. The dog was one of my favorite dogs of all time. Of course, the dog did not bite him. I don't care what he said. He kicked my dog. I was absolutely furious, let me tell you. Another instance, I was just meeting an owner to get their dog, right? In the lobby of my apartment, this is literally how the conversation went. I shook the owner's hand. I was like, hey, I'm Alistair. I'm glad to meet you. Like, I'm really happy that I'm looking after your dog. Paul comes up to us. Paul looks at me and he's like, yo, aren't you the guy that like locks dogs in cages all night? And he was trying to be funny and play it off as a joke, but it was so unfunny. It was the most awkward like instance. We're not friends. Paul and I are not friends. I don't know why he did this. But he comes to me and he says this in front of the owner, and the owner just looks at me and the owner looks at him. And I'm like, sorry, that's my roommate, Paul. And he's just joking. And the owner looks at Paul and goes, you're a jackass. I thought that was so funny, but yet it was so awkward. Paul came up later that day and was like, hey, sorry for doing that. But I was like, yeah, like, you better be sorry. Like, this is my work. This is how I make a living right now. Like, why are you even doing that in the first place? Let's fast forward to Christmas time. Christmas time happened. I come back from Christmas break. I come in. I'm very excited to be home. Look at my apartment. It's trashed. There's wine on the counter, wine bottles. My couch is like astray. There's like my rug is missing. Go out on the balcony, there's dog poop everywhere. I had no idea what was happening, but it looked like someone had robbed my apartment. So I text him and I was like, hey, yo, what happened? What happened? And he's like, hey, sorry, like I brought a girl over last night and I had to like rush to the airport at 6 a.m. So like I left everything. Like I had a photo finish to the airport and I had to leave everything. Sorry. Like I'll be back in a week to clean everything up. And I was like, are you kidding me? There's dog poop on my balcony. Why is there dog poop on my balcony? I was furious. We live 15 floors up. There should be no reason dog poop's on the balcony. So I was like, no, like this is absolutely atrocious. Like why in the world is there dog poop? That was the thing that got me. The dog poop got me. And he's like, oh, I left my dog like here, like over like this past week. Sorry, blah, 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 blah. But it doesn't stop there. My rug was in my room, usually in the living room. Like my girlfriend is here at my apartment. She's trying to cheer me up. And she's like, yo, like he just moved the rug because like he's just, you know, the dog was here. Like, wouldn't it be funny though if like your rug like smelled like dog pee? Like, what if the dog like peed on your rug? And she went down. Oh no. And I look at her and she's like, I think the dog peed on your rug. The dog had peed on my rug. So I texted him about this and I was like, yo, so like, did your dog pee on my rug? And this was his response. He said, no. LOL, the rug smells like that probably because of your own insufferable insolence. This is how he talks. I'm not even joking. Like, that is what he said to me. And like, at that point, I was like, you know what? I said some choice words to him, and I was like, I never want to see you again. You can fill in your own blanks here. I don't feel bad. So let's fast forward again. We had meetings on meetings with all these roommates. The dude that I was living with, like sharing a room with, threatened to move out. It got so bad, so tense. It was that bad and it was driving me crazy. I hated being in my apartment because of this person, but I just wanted to mention a couple more things that really drove home why he is the worst roommate ever. Paul was on 6th Street one time this past semester and he met some kid, a soldier who lives at Fort Hood, no joke. They became friends. This soldier kept coming over to my apartment day after day, practically living in my living room. And he was generally a nice guy, but the things that he would say were the most like meathead things ever. We'd all be sitting down. I would not be interacting with them at all, obviously, but they'd be talking in the living room while I was in there. And just out of the blue, he'd be like, you know, I was a chopper gunner back in like 2 years ago, and like I had to do things that I had to do, you know, but like if freaking ISIS walked through that door right now, I could probably shoot him upside down and backwards with my eyes closed. And I'd have to listen to this every day for a good solid while. One day this army dude disappears in my apartment. Paul's not there. That got me wondering, how did he get into my apartment? Lo and behold, Paul had made a spare key and given this army dude the spare key, and he'd come whenever he wanted to. And of course, this was so, so disrespectful to everyone else. And when we found this out, I was livid. Oh my gosh. This random dude would come in every once in a while without, we weren't even there and he was coming in. Who knows what he was doing? I know that they were in my room. I found stuff missing. I found stuff moved. And that was the last straw. He has fallen asleep on the couch. I've come home at night to find his food burning on the stovetop, literally smoking, and he's asleep on the couch. He's left candles lit in his room. One time, I was cleaning the kitchen and I found a bag of rotting meat on the kitchen table that I know has been there for 2 weeks. 2 weeks of rotting meat. And so I was like, yo, why is there meat on the table? And he looks at me, he's like, I don't have to answer to you. And he gets in my face, he's like literally in my face, and he's like, I don't have to answer to you. And I was like, you do, you aren't on the lease, I can kick you out at any point. And he's like, no, I have some legal blah 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 blah. And I was like, you know what, no you don't. And then he points to the ground, and right next to our trash can is just like a bunch of recycling, because we don't have a recycling can, but we still recycle. And he points to the recycling and he's like, you leave your trash out, all the time. And I looked at him and I was like, that is recycling. They were like pizza boxes and like cans and like aluminum cans and stuff. And I was like, those are recycling. And he's like, I don't care what it is. It's trash and it looks bad. And I was like, it's like arguing with a baby, with like a toddler. Like, you can't say anything because nothing really makes sense. So yes, he did try to justify a rotting bag of meat with a pile of recycling. That's just who he is. I don't, it's like, honestly, it baffles me, like, it truly baffles me. And this is kind of how, what I've been living with. He's very disgusting, like, what he eats, what he like leaves out. He's left sushi out for a full 24 hours and he'll eat it the next day. That is raw fish. And I cannot fathom, like, that is just so disgusting to me. And he leaves it out just on the counter. Every time he washes his dishes, I wash them again because I don't trust it. He brings his army friend over every weekend. I never get to have my own place on the weekend. He's always here. He broke his hand because he punched his other best friend in the face because the other best friend said that Paul doesn't respect women. They got in a fight on 6th Street. Police were involved, but Paul broke his hand because he punched his friend in the face. That shows what he is like. Kind of shows that I am a little afraid if I kicked him out, truly. He has his dog here again. Dog is living in its filth on the balcony. I feel so terrible. I don't know what to do. Paul doesn't buy dog food for it. He literally boils beans and feeds the dog beans. I don't know if that's normal. I don't think it is. I looked it up. I think like beans can be used as a supplement, but not like full dog food. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Luckily, the dog lives back with his parents, and the dog's only here for like a week. But man, it truly breaks my heart. He thinks that I am a child and that my parents pay for everything, which is just not true. He thinks that he is entitled to controlling the power and lights because he pays for 1/4 of the apartment. He has disrespected me. He's disrespected girls. He's disrespected my girlfriend. He's disrespected other roommates. And like, where does it end? Random roommates, they are just terrible, terrible. I don't want to generalize, but this has been terrible. And I don't wish it upon my worst enemy. So thank you guys for listening. If you have had a similar experience, I'm sorry. I feel for you. Stay strong. It will get better. I hope. Just pray for me. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Nikki, for letting me share my story. Appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day, night, afternoon. Bye.
And that's it for this episode. I promise there's no more hidden segments. Thank you guys for listening, and as always, we'll catch you on the next one.